Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day and welcome any of our visitors that are here. Tonight we're continuing this long series, and we have went through many of God's character, God's nature. And of course, what started all of this is seeing how the world portrays God. And of course, we know the world, they look at God as a loving God, which is true. He absolutely does love us. But does he tolerate? Does he put up with sin? And do we get to get away with the things that we do? Well, the answer is no. When we look at much of his character, much of his nature, we do see, and we have went over knowing God is holy, God is just, God is vengeful, God is a jealous God, and tonight, God is a wrathful God. And when we look at his wrath, it's not going to be pleasant. And when we see examples of his wrath being poured out through Scripture, it is not a pretty sight. It's a terrifying sight. You know, I remember as a kid when my mom would say, wait until your dad gets home. That put fear in us because we understood when dad got home, it wasn't going to be good. It was going to be bad. Now take that and times it by 1,000, times it by 1,000,000. That's what God's wrath will be. But yet so many continue to live in such a wicked way that God's wrath will be poured out. Going to Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, where our main text will be, we see here in chapter 1, he is dealing with the Gentiles. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. So when we look at Romans chapter 1 here, we see who receives God's wrath, and we see those who are unrighteous, those who suppress the truth. It's so important that we look and see that those who live such an unrighteous life, the wrath of God will be poured out. And it will not be a day of rejoicing. It will not be a day of happy smiles. Going to be a day of terror for many, because at that point they realize we're in trouble, and at that point there will be no turning back for these people. Once again, like I talked about this morning, when God says it's done and the world is done, everything physical will pass away, there's no turning back. There is no more time to make your life right with God. But when we look at just here with Romans 1, they know God. They have seen his attributes. You know, I often tell people, when you look out in nature, and I can do so, when you study the human body, when you study animals, when you study nature, you can see God's signature on everything. Any individual who is wise in any way can look at this world and say, there is a creator, there is a God. But not only that, some of these people would have witnessed, and we see witnessed Christ's signs and wonders, his miracles that he would have performed. And even the apostles who were inspired, who were chosen by Christ to go forth through their signs and wonders, which they only did through Christ. But yet, sometimes that's not enough. But as well, when we look at the Romans here, the church here in Rome, it would have been hard because they were surrounded by unrighteousness. They were surrounded by sin. Paganism ran rampant through the Roman Empire. Idolatry, as we see on down, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And guess what? That's what people have done today. They have taken the incorruptible God and his image and made it into as corruptible man. They look at God and they do not understand his full nature. Yes, God does love. But once again, we are called to obey. We are called to be faithful and live for him each and every day. Not to do what we want. Now, we have that free will. But that free will, that those choices that we make do have consequences. We see that those who disobey God's commands will feel the wrath of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There are many who deceive themselves today. There were many at this time who deceived themselves, thinking, yeah, I know God, I walk with him, but yet they walk in darkness. They try to hold on to worldly things. They try to hold on to things that they enjoy. They try to hold on to their old ways of life instead of doing what they have been commanded to do, and that is not to walk in darkness. We know we have fellowship with him when we walk with God. How can we say that we are gods when we walk in darkness? Because we know that we are liars at that point, and we make God a liar. And so how does one disobey, how does one avoid the wrath of God? And it's very, you know, it's simple enough. We must repent and obey. We'll get to some examples here later on, but when I look at some of the circumstances that happened with Israel, with Judah, it could have all been avoided if they would have just repented and obeyed. It could have all been avoided. In Luke chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans are worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Christ came to preach repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We see the apostles. They preached repentance. They preached and called people to come and repent and have faith and obey. We see that was their message. There was no other way to receive forgiveness. Simply being a good man. And I know people who are wonderful people who would give their shirts off their backs. But if they are not doing as God has called them to do, they're lost. God's wrath will be poured out. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Once again, Peter preaching a powerful sermon here. And he was very straightforward. He was very bold in his sermon. And he told them, you are the ones responsible for the death of the Son of God. And they were cut to the heart. And what do? They ask, what must we do? Repent and obey. Repent and be baptized. And 3,000 souls were added that day to the church. There is a way to avoid the wrath of God, and that is by repenting and obeying. Yet many continue to live in sin. Many continue to live the way they want. And they think, well, if I just show up on Sunday mornings, I'm good. They go through a checklist. No, that is not the right attitude to have. Some people have the mindset that this is just a book of rules. This is a book that they have no interest in really sitting down and studying and knowing. That's the wrong attitude to have. This book leads us to life. This book, which is in the inspired word of God, shows us what we must do. It's a sad day when we look and we see the condition of people's souls today. And they do not bat an eye. They do not care what condition their soul is in. As long as they have what they want now. Instant gratification. And that's what sin gives. It gives instant gratification. It gives them temporary pleasure. But in the long run, their souls are lost and they will face the wrath of God. Want to know what the wrath of God looks like? His wrath will be hell for eternity. That's his wrath. For us today, that's his wrath. Once again, God does love us. God desires all men to come to him. He does not desire people to perish, but he will honor your decision. He honored many decisions from many in the past. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. What were the consequences? Death. They died on the spot. Now, Sapphira had a chance to confess, to say, yes, we lied. We held back some. And there was nothing wrong with that, but they lied. If they would have repented, everything would have possibly been well. We won't know the outcome because it didn't happen that way. And so, God's wrath will not be pleasant. You know, people, and I've said this when I preached on hell, people joke about hell. People joke about God's wrath. People joke about God all the time. And it's not funny. Because what they are harboring up for themselves in the end is God's wrath. We see Israel would face his wrath. As we look in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you. But they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Israel, because of their disobedience here, would face his wrath, would face the consequences for not obeying God. And the command was to drive out the inhabitants, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them, yet they failed that. And now it would be a thorn in their side. Their gods would be a snare to them, and we would see that. As we study on Wednesday nights, idolatry would be a snare to them. But there would, thankfully, be a time when Israel would wise up. and put away the idols. Judah faced the wrath of God. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand and some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Judah would be taken into captivity by Babylon, but that's not before the destruction of Jerusalem and the deaths that would occur in that siege. But many would be carried off into captivity, including Daniel and his three friends. It would not be easy, because they have just lost the promised land, which they were promised, their fathers were promised, because they had to disobey. And Jeremiah dealt with this. Jeremiah would have warned them, tried to tell them, repent, turn back to God, yet they would not listen. Once again, Jeremiah, and I can only imagine the frustration, he never converted one single soul. Tried to warn his people. When we look at Paul, he had frustration, sadness in his heart, because he wanted his brethren, the Jews, to come and accept Christ, but many would continue to reject. It should weigh heavy on our hearts to see not only our brothers and sisters who have gone astray, but for the lost. We should never want people to have to face the wrath of God. We should want people to hear the truth, obey the truth, and remain faithful, to give their life to Christ. Yet sometimes we can get caught up in our anger, in our frustrations. We will face his wrath, just like Israel, Judah, and so many before. We will face his wrath. John chapter 3, verses 31 through 36. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And that he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Christ, who is the Messiah, the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, came with this message, and even with the signs and wonders that he would have performed, curing the blind, curing people with disease, many diseases, bringing the dead back to life, showing that what he says is true. Many would reject Christ, the only way to have life. We see a scene where Christ is weeping over Jerusalem. Why is he weeping? Because he knows what's coming. He knows Jerusalem would be destroyed in 70 AD. And he knows that there would be many who would die continuing to reject him. Christ cared so much for the lost souls when he came. That's why he came. That's why he died for every one of us. But they have that choice. And I know as of right now, I guarantee you they're regretting that choice as they lie in torment. Once again, and I emphasize this so much, God does love. God is a forgiving God. God is a merciful God. Absolutely. He has showed that by sending his only son down here to die, but God is a holy, just God. He is a jealous God. He is a wrathful God. There's so much evidence on more to his nature. Yet many continue to paint this portrait of an idol. This evening, if you're not a Christian, I really hope and I pray that if you're not right with God, now's the time. God has shown you mercy today by giving you this time up to this point. But that mercy will soon run out, and you will face the wrath of God. If you're not right with him. And every Christian here prays that you give your life to him. And this is how you do it. You hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You believe that word, John 3:16-17. You repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Change one's mind. Disown your old life, your old self. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10, but it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, being buried with him in the likeness of his death, and being raised into newness of life, making contact with the blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:15-16, so forth and so on. But it doesn't stop there either. You must remain faithful. That's how you avoid the wrath of God. By living faithfully for him each and every day. Or if you are a Christian and you went back and started living your old life, your sinful life, now's the time to come forward to repent and renew your walk with Christ. Don't wait. Like I said this morning, you could walk out these doors tonight and never come back. You could lay your head down and breathe your last. Do not wait. So if you're here this morning, this evening, you need any assistance, come forward. Allow us to pray with you, to help you in any way. We love you and we want you to be part of the family. You're here this evening and you need assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.